Okay, we'll see how long this lasts. As we were worshiping, I was not using my voice. I was reminded of a story I heard about somebody who had visited a persecuted church in the East. And he says it was an incredible experience. He says they met in some funny little place somewhere hidden away. There were quite a lot of people. Normally the groups are quite small. And obviously, you know, they're not allowed to worship in public, and because they can't worship very loudly, when it was time for worship, they just said, "We're going to worship now," and everybody started worshiping, but without making a sound. And he says it was amazing to watch, because we're so dependent upon the music and the words and the whole thing. You know, they were just, every person was just so focused on Jesus. The people were weeping, some were on the floor, some were dancing, some were jumping, but there was just silence. But the presence of God, he says, it was incredible. He's never experienced something like that before. Just something for us to just aspire to really worship in spirit and truth beyond. The band is doing an amazing job, but beyond the music, beyond the, you know, what we create here in the physical. Amen. Okay, cool. So let's pray. Get into the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight. We willingly submit ourselves to your Word. Because, Jesus, you are the Word. And we thank you that as we submit ourselves to you, Lord, that you shape us and you make us and you mold us. And Lord, tonight, even though some of this stuff is difficult, Father, we thank you that it is for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. And Lord, as we submit ourselves to your Word, I pray that you truly set us free tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for liberty, Father, and for a boldness to walk in the freedom that you've bought for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're talking about being planted, and I'm starting with Isaiah 61. Often quote the scripture in terms of Jesus' ministry, why he came. Let's start from verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Just going to pause there. We know this part, and we know kind of roughly that's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem. He came to heal broken lives. Should I move this way? I'm getting a lot of feedback from there. He came to heal broken lives. He came to deliver us from our sin and save us from the pit. Amen. So we know God as our healer. We know him as our deliverer. We know Christ is the one who came to get rid of our past and get rid of the bondage of the past. But all of this is not just for us to have a wonderful life and to go into heaven one day. Okay? Some of us do, we will live like that. Yes, I'm saved. Praise God. I'm just going to cruise downhill until I get to heaven type of thing. But the amazing thing is, all of this, God is a God of design. Isn't that exciting? When we look at creation, it is almost impossible to not see that there's design behind it. In any case, it's my... okay, so let's continue from there. We've said the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And then he goes on, he gives more detail. He says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Isn't that exciting? We're not here just to have a good time. God has put us here to restore, to rebuild, to reestablish. You know, when we go through our city and our communities, in the spirit, it's in ruins often. There's crazy stuff happening around us. You know, I'm really trusting God to open our eyes to see in the Spirit, to see what state our nation is in. But the encouraging thing is to know that God has put us here and He has anointed us. And God has saved us. Jesus has saved us so that we can rebuild. That He's going to use our body, us as a family, the body of Christ in this city as a whole, to rebuild. Amen? So that's something to look forward to. So there's a purpose for this whole thing. There's a purpose and there's a glorious plan. And then another thing, we're going to look at it a bit later. It's important to note who does the planting. Okay? The planting of the Lord. Alright, so he's doing the planting. That's important. So we don't get confused around that. It will make more sense later. Okay. Often, there's a few parts in Scripture where we read about people as being compared to trees and plants. Agriculture. Lots of agriculture in the Bible. Angus Bacon always talks about his agriculture handbook. And, Psalm 1 talks about the wise man who meditates on the word and kind of he's like a tree planted by the living waters and bearing fruit, etc. And it's like a tree. And there's only one place, where it says specifically, he doesn't only make a comparison, he specifically talks about people being planted, okay? And I'm going to read Psalm 92, from verse 13 to 15. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And my screen is gone dead. And there is no unrighteousness in him. I think I've got no power left. Just a moment. Sorry. No problem. He is my rock and there's no unrighteousness in him. But then we're going to focus on the beginning. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. But if you look at those few scriptures, it sounds healthy. Don't you think? It sounds like abundant life. It talks about somebody being bearing fruit in their old age, being fresh and flourishing. And normally, when you look at the standard oldish person, you don't normally think fresh and flourishing. And he goes, no. But amazing. Amazing, a picture of abundance of life, bearing fruit, fresh, flourishing, and declaring that the Lord is upright. My rock, there's no unrighteousness in him. So this is an incredible picture of abundance of life. And When we look at this whole picture of being planted, of a plant being planted, and this, to be honest, it's not a plant you would necessarily normally buy like this, okay? These mostly work together. So we can either go and plant them in a little pot at home, or you can all put them together somewhere and make a hedge, because that's what they're normally used for. It's not fun, okay. But, normally you plant a lot of them together and then they grow and then you make a hedge and then you trim it. But obviously you can start with a few, I'm sure. If you look at this thing, it's only got a little bit of soil, but it's planted, right? And if you want to, you know, if I feed Abigail, normally, there's various ways. The easiest way is still when Erna feeds her, definitely. But if I have to do it, I normally have to use a spoon or the bottle is less successful. But in any case, we're learning. It's incredible. You have to distract her before. Yeah, in any case. But it's a learning process. But with a plant, if you want to feed this thing, what do? Spoon? Water on top. Exactly. You have to feed the soil. So you put water in the soil, Yes, sometimes it gets on top as well, but if you want to feed this plant, you want to feed the soil and make this plant is very much dependent upon the soil it's in. Are you with me? In the same way, God wants to put us in a place, in an environment where we can flourish, an environment where we can get all the nutrients we need, and where we can truly experience an abundance of life. Safe environment, secure, a nurturing environment where we can flourish and grow. Amen. And you're going to look a little bit more at that a bit later. But if any of you try to uproot a healthy tree, easy. Not easy. It's a mission. It's a nightmare, actually. I've tried once or twice. It's one of the worst things. If somebody comes over to your house and helps you in the garden, and you give them that job, you'll never see them again. It's like you've lost a friend. But no, this is like a tough job. If a healthy tree with proper root system, it's been around for a while, it's really difficult to get it out. And even if mostly you end up chopping it off as low as possible and you cover it with something. And then a year later, there's a few shoots coming up again because that tree is long, long not gone. So it's incredible, that picture of incredible strength and health and stability that is in a strong, healthy tree. Some of these commons around here, you can see those trees have been there for many years. And it's going to be tough to get them out there. And that's what God has in mind for us to be established, strong, healthy, rooted, in an incredibly blessed, flourishing, nurturing environment. So if that's your desire, if it's your desire as a Christian to flourish, to grow, to experience an abundance of life, it is very important where you are planted and that you are planted. Amen? Okay, we're going to look at a little bit more of that a bit later. In Scripture, one of the most prosperous people we read about, not only in terms of substance, but just in terms of his whole life. King David, man after God's heart. There's so many things we can learn from his life. But the one thing we see in Scripture, even from the psalm we read already, is he got this thing right. He had a revelation about the house of God and the whole blessing around that. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Don't worry, is there somebody at the door? Verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. And he understands, he's experienced that safe place. He's experienced that place of stability. He's experienced that place of blessing and flourishing. And he's kind of caught this thing. He understood what the key was for his success in life. He understood that was very much linked to his being where God has put him and flourishing in that place, in the presence of God, in his house. Now, if you want to try and kill this little thing, okay, this is yours to take home. There's no condemnation. If I come and visit you in a month time or so and it's dead, I will seriously reconsider your membership. No, but there'll be no condemnation. I've killed many plants in my lifetime. But you can deal with this whatever you like. But if you want to kill it, okay, what's the best way? Burn it, what? Don't water it, yes. Don't plant it. Amen. It will actually last quite a long time in this little pot. But quickest way is to remove it from the soil, to uproot it. Okay, if I took two of these, I think we have one or two left, and I uprooted the one, shook off the soil, and I put it next to one like this, and I water both for a week or so, Do you agree that you will clearly see a difference after a week already? The one will have no soil and will be dead, and this one will be fine and flourishing. And that's how it works in the spirit. And all of you are looking at me like, duh, you know, we all know this. It's very, very simple and it's obvious. But in the spirit, it doesn't seem to be that obvious. If the enemy's plan is to kill and steal and destroy, and we know that. So what do you think he will want to do to kill you? He's going to try his best to uproot you. Okay? Guys, we need to look out for this. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight, so please also know that this message is for many people that you know out there. Okay? but the thing that the enemy will want to do is to get you out of your soil, to try and get you uprooted, to try and get you out of that safe place, out of the place of nourishment, and to get you on your own. If this plant, if this plant had a clue, if it could think, okay, if it understood that its health, you know, even if stability at the top, it's loose. It's quite stable at the bottom, even if it's very small. That if this thing understands, you know, or if this plant could think and decide, no, this is it. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going somewhere else. I can do without the soil stuff. Okay, I'm gonna do something else. No, there's problems. You agree? It's not going to be blessed. The sooner this plant understands that its success in life, in survival, firstly, and then in bearing fruit and, you know, flourishing and growing into a beautiful, huge thing, it depends on the soil. And its success is, you cannot separate it from the soil. It cannot flourish without the soil. Are you with me? In the same way, listen to me now, everything in your life and in my life is success. Whatever we do is linked to us being planted in the house of God. You cannot separate. It is undeniably, and you cannot separate the blessing on your life or the lack of blessing on your life or the success in your life or the lack of success. I'm telling you straight. You cannot separate that from your relationship with the local body and the soil that you are in. Amen. Okay, let's see what else David says. Psalm 23, verse 6, very well known. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knows that is the place where goodness and mercy follows him. He knows that is the secret, the key to his success. And then Psalm 122, verse 1, says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He's passionate. I remember growing up, I was not glad when the Lord, when my dad dragged me out of bed early on a Sunday morning. I was not glad. But I didn't have a clue. But you see, David has caught this thing. He is excited about going to church. He was like, wow, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Let's do this thing. This is amazing. It's not a burden. It's not he's caught this thing. It's not like it's a big schlep. He knows there's a blessing. He knows that's where he flourishes. He knows that's the key. Now, another way to kill this thing is if you want to keep it in like a little pot, and then transplant it to a different pot every second day. So just a tip. It's obviously a bit more cumbersome way to kill it, but it will surely not survive. And that's often what we do as well. We think, okay, now let me try this church, and okay, nobody here does that. But those friends of yours out there, that we call it church hopping. It's not healthy, guys. I used to do that once for a few months. It was not healthy. The Lord strongly encouraged me to get planted. But if you transplant this little thing it's not going to make it. It takes time to get used to a certain environment. It takes time to get used to how things work in a certain soil and how the nutrients work and how things operate, and to get used to this environment. And then once it's used to that, it can grow and it can flourish and it can grow strong and bear fruit. I don't know if this thing is going to bear fruit, but I'm talking in general now, okay? So there's a key there. It's no use jumping up this way and that way, and especially if we get hurt in church. And people, the chances of you getting some offense somewhere along the way, and you and I getting hurt by somebody in church, because it's not Christ that hurts us, it's normally some person. And often it's because of deception, and it's often because of offenses we pick up. Okay, we're not going to go into detail. But even when we get hurt in a certain body, you know, the first reaction is, okay, I'm going to pulling up my roots, I'm running, I'm finding a new place. This soil sucks, it's terrible. Okay, I'm going to find a different soil. But it doesn't work like that, because who does the planting? God does the planting. So unless the gardener says, listen, your season is up on this side of the garden, and I want you to put you somewhere else, you can't just decide, now I've got hurt, now I'm going to run away. Maybe he's just pruning you. The point is, stay there. It's not easy, I know. But that is the best place to receive healing. It's right there where the hurt happened. Right there, trust God for restoration and healing. Because that's where it's going to mean the most. And that's where you're going to know God the most. But be obedient to him. Are you with me? So there's no, the tree decides, I want to go somewhere. I want to do my own thing. Are you with me? Okay. I think I mentioned this next verse a week or so ago. That's an easy one. The 1-2-3 verse. Ephesians 1:23. Okay. I'm going to read the Message translation. I don't use it often in sermons, but this one is very good. Ephesians 1 verse 23 in the Message. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. This is very powerful because it tells you how God sees the world. The world thinks, yes, we're in charge. This is our place. This is our town. And the church is some bunch of guys there on the side and they're doing something funny there on a Sunday and we don't care. When God looks at the city, he first sees the body. He first sees the body of Christ, the church. And then he says, okay, there's other stuff happening around it, but this is at the center point. You know what peripheral means? I'm just going to read it here. On or near the edge, or constituting an outer boundary, the outer area related to the key issue, but not of central importance. Okay? How often do we get this wrong? How often do we see this the other way around? Let's read it again. The church, you see, is not at the outer extremity of the world. The world is at the outer extremity of the church. Let's make it personal. The church, you see, is not peripheral to your life. Your life is peripheral to the church. How's that? The church, you see, is not peripheral to your holiday plans. Okay, I can go on. The church, God is serious about this thing, guys. Often, and it's funny how we live in a society, obviously, where this is, people don't understand this. Okay, so it's very easy for us to think in the way the world does. But I'm really trusting God tonight, and obviously I understand most of the guys here. Sorry. Most of you here don't have that problem. Okay, so think about your friends out there, but let's make the shift in the way we think about the body of Christ tonight, okay? The church is at the center of what God is doing, and when he looks at the world, that is the center point, the body of Christ. Are you with me? Okay. Now, if this little plant, let's give this plant a brain. Imagine for a moment this plant has a brain. And besides wanting to relocate itself, it's now, what is the best thing this plant could, if it could do something to improve its own life? What would you say is the best plan? Any suggestions for this little plot? Should we give it a name? Say again. Sunny spot. Yes, maybe. By a river. Okay, but no. Okay, no, can't move around. Can't. Okay, no, it's going to go on too long. Okay. The best thing, if this plant could do something to improve its own life, I would advise this plant to invest in the soil that's in. Because its life depends on it. Are you with me? So I would say, if it could do that, I would say, feed the soil. Make sure the soil is healthy, because then you're going to be healthy. Make sure that the soil you're in is blessed and healthy and good, and it's got everything it needs, because then you're going to flourish. So if this plant had a choice or could do something about it, that was the tip I was going to give it. And like I said before, as soon as this little plant understands that its life and its success depends completely upon the soil it's in, it's going somewhere. Unless it understands that there's problems. And the same with us. When you and I get this, when we understand that, whether it's in my marriage or my relationships or whatever I do, everything is related to the soil I'm in. And I know you and I don't live like this, but this is why we're talking about it. When last did you wake up in the morning thinking, Lord, how can I improve the soil? How can I make sure, or how can I, what can I do today to make your body, the church that I'm in, more glorious? How can I invest into your body today? How can I make sure the body is flourishing, that the church is blessed today? Because in it, I will also be blessed. But that's not the reason why we do it. Okay. But wake up in the morning, how can I make the church, the body, more glorious? That's a shift we need to make. And guys, I know this is something that is, academically we know it, but I want to encourage you to test God in this. I have to be really honest with you. Every positive thing in my life, every blessing that I can think of, has happened because I've been planted in the house of God. Everyone, really. Every growth in my relationship with God has happened when I was planted in the body. Every positive thing, it's seriously, in the time that I was not, I can tell you other stories, okay? But every blessing and every positive thing in my relationship with God is directly connected with my being planted securely, firmly in the body. Now I'm just quickly have a look a little bit of, kind of remind ourselves about how does God feel about the body? Do you think that's important? Yes, this is important. Okay, Ephesians 5. Normally we read this about, it's, you know, the husbands, love your wives. It's, you know, people get nervous because then normally the next step is the whole submission thing. But don't worry, we won't talk about that tonight. I know we've got that right. So tonight we're focusing on the other bit because we're comparing something here. So now we're not looking at the husband and wife thing. We're looking at Christ and the church. Okay. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Isn't that powerful? nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Now, unfortunately, from time to time, mostly out of hurt, you find people, I've had this once, people come to you and tell you terrible things that they've experienced. And then they tell you, go on to tell you how terrible that church is and how the terrible things happened there and how bad the church is and how useless that congregation is. And that happens. I get very nervous. And I try to get out of that conversation as quickly as I can and find shelter and rubber boots. Only a few of you got that. But in any case, no. Because have you thought, you know, okay, let me try this. Have you ever tried this? You go to the biggest, strongest, most powerful man you know, and you insult his wife. Okay? No, we don't do that. We're wise about these things, right? And actually, in this case, size doesn't matter. You can go to a small guy as well. It will have the same effect. He will probably kill himself in the process, but somebody's going to get hurt. If I enter a room and I hear somebody going on about how terrible Adonai is or how bad, whatever, he's useless or something like that, you know what? I will have to put my pastor's hat aside for a few minutes and somebody will get hurt. Are you with me? We laugh about these people, but for some reason we think we can insult Jesus' blood. For some reason we think we can talk to somebody else and tell them, you know, Jesus' bride, she really sucks. She's actually terrible. She's useless at this and that. And some of us even go as far as to tell Jesus in his face, you know, Lord, that, you know, your church is really terrible. I forgot this and this happened and this, your church really sucks. You know, Jesus, I know this is the bride that you died for and that you gave everything for and that you nourish and cherish, but she's this and this and this. I must say, you can't do that. I don't even know what's going on in heaven at that stage, but it's scary. And I know each of us is going to have to stand before God one day and give an account for every word we've said. So all I'm saying, if you hear someone in an unwise way talking about the body, the bride of Christ, just take them aside and give them a tip. So please, that's not good for you. It doesn't matter, guys. Obviously, there's lots of dodgy things going on in certain in church, okay? I know that. There's lots of things happening that are not godly. But don't think it gives you the right to take on the bride of Christ. Are you with me? We have to be careful with what we say. Jesus is passionate about his bride. And we're not there yet. We're not a glorious bride yet. He's still busy perfecting. He's still busy washing us, cleansing us, making us holy. Amen. But it doesn't mean we can just criticize and we can just talk bad of different. And guys, and as Christians, we sometimes do this with different congregations and different church groups. So I want to just say, let's just stop that. Let's just not cast any judgment. And let's respect the body of the bride of Christ. Amen? It's not a heavy one. It's just something we get wrong from time to time. But nobody, I don't know, nobody here does that. But let's respect how Jesus feels about his wife, about his bride. Amen? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can you still hear me? Almost. You know, Yankor is coming to visit in May. And the HQ visit, him and Hercules are coming from HQ. So if you're around, I'm going to encourage you to be in. I don't know why I'm telling you this. Oh, because of the not hearing me. Yeah, he used to go out with, before he got married a while back, he used to go out with a deaf lady. So he learned to lip read. He says it's very handy. He says he can sit on the other side of a huge hall and he can listen in on somebody's conversation. Huh? Have you thought about that? That's scary, huh? So yeah, maybe you guys should learn to lip read and I can just laugh and then you'll all get what I'm saying. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And just pause there. This is quite easy. Okay, if you were a little confused about that, who the church is. The church is not a building, you all know that. Let's just do a practical exercise. Who's the body of Christ? Okay. Not this, okay. Okay, you are the body of Christ. Now, this is powerful. This is a powerful thing we must catch. Often, it has happened often, doesn't happen often anymore. You guys don't do that. But in the past, people used to come to me and say, you know what you guys should do? And there's somebody in church, and then he's talking about the church as something different from them. They're saying, you know what the church should do? And I'm like, oh, okay, and then we hear this. Or they say, when is the church going to do that? Or when is the church going to get involved there? Or when is the church going to do that? I'm thinking, guys, you're missing something. And normally, it's actually a good opportunity to help somebody to understand the body. You are the body. You and I, we are the body of Christ. And if you think about it carefully, this is actually a powerful thing. As the body of Christ, every encounter you and I have with somebody is for them a Christ encounter, because they have now met with the body of Christ. Okay, we know we represent Christ, all those things, but everyone. In other words, it's not something you can choose one day. Today I'm going to represent God, I'm going to be all good and smile and not kick the neighbor's dog today and all that stuff. No, it doesn't work like that. Every the whole time we are the body of Christ. And now the problem is that means that person is in the encounter with you is either a good Christ encounter or it's a bad one. It's a little scary. Okay. Even when the lady that's rushing through Sainsbury's hits you on the back of your heel with the trolley, you think afterwards, was that a good Christ encounter? What happened there? Well, this is a scary concept, but at the other hand, it's incredibly powerful because we are the body of Christ, and there's an incredible opportunity whenever somebody has an encounter with you, they can see Christ, and that they have encounter, a good Christ encounter with you. Amen. Okay. Now, in terms of the body, I'm going to continue with the scripture in a moment. My body at the moment is not in good shape, as you can hear. I get sick and stuff. But whatever I want to do on this earth, I use my body. It's pretty simple. If I want to eat, I have to use my body. If I want to go somewhere, my body has to go with. Amen? I use my body. If I want to run, you know how it works. Everything on this earth, in this life, it's going to happen with this body. In the same way, Jesus, everything he does on the earth, he does with his body. Are you with me? He uses his body. And that's us. Again, very scary concept, but at the same time, very exciting. Because whatever Christ wants to do in our community, it's going to happen through his body. We talk about us being the hands and feet of Jesus. And immediately, we're thinking, that sounds like hard work, and there's lots of stuff that need to happen. And often we have that misperception. We have this burden thing of doing the will of God is like this huge burden, and it's tough, and it's, we just have to kind of press through. But I want to encourage us, when we look at what Jesus said in John chapter 4, he says, my food is to do the will of my Father. The thing that sustains me, the thing that feeds me and nourishes me and gives me energy and makes me grow is to do the will of my Father. How's that? Not, it doesn't tap me. Yes, physically you're going to get tired. Okay, we understand that. But there's a place of abundance when we're in the will of God, when we're doing the will of our Father. When we're being his body, we're being his hands and feet. And I've experienced that I think tonight's going to be one of those nights. You know, you're tired, you've ministered, and your body is tired and sick and everything. But there's a fulfillment in partnering with God. There's nothing like that fulfills, like knowing you've now partnered with God. And you've done the will of the Father. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It's nourishing. It builds you up. You grow. You flourish. You know, it feeds you. And you know what? I grew up in a house where you finish what's on the plate. Amen. Yeah. Everything. I've since then changed my mind about that. Somebody said to me, your body is not a dustbin. Okay. So now, I don't eat everything that's on the plate. But I used to. It's still difficult for me. But in the spiritual sense, I don't know about you guys, but I want all the food that God has had as for me. Everything. I don't want to share. You've got your own. Lord, if there's something, if your will for me, I want all of it. I want to eat all of that. Amen? I don't want to miss out on anything. And it sounds like a burden. You know, sometimes you've had a hard day at work on a Wednesday and you think, coming home, you think, oh, home group. Some food there, you know. Wow. I'm going to eat and get encouraged and I'm going to bless people. I'm going to do the will of the Father. Wow. I cannot afford not to go. Church, it's tough. I'm busy. I've got this and this and this. So many things going on. You cannot afford not to go. Not only because it's the will of the Father, because that's the place where we come together and we celebrate what God is doing. Amen. So, if you're struggling with that thing, if the stuff, the things of God and doing the will of the Father sometimes feels like a burden, bring it before Him. Say, Lord, there's something not right in this picture. I want to enjoy this food. I believe it's good stuff. Okay? Sometimes it's just a shift we have to make in our head and just repent and get our attitudes right. Sometimes it's we might be doing dead works. Okay? But if that is the case and you feel burdened by the work, by the will of God, bring it before Him. Okay, let's continue the scripture. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healings, help, administrations, varieties of tongues. I'm not going to go into detail here, but the Lord has blessed us with incredible gifts in the church. And not only is He kind of given gifts to the body, but He's also given it in a certain order. And often we are uncomfortable with this. You know, we find with order all around us in society, but when we talk about order in the church, for some reason, people think it's not acceptable. But He says, first apostles. And that means that in this case, yeah, the prophet's going to have to listen to the apostle. Are you with me? Sorry. In any case, God has set a specific order in place. And this is not about me up here. It's about us having respect for how God wants things to work. In the same way of us getting our priorities straight in terms of looking at the world, and instead of thinking as of the church as a nice add-on to my weekend, but to realize, okay, but the church, the body of Christ, is actually at the center point, and everything that I organize and everything in my life, I have to organize around the church, the body of Christ. In the same way, we have to make a shift in terms of the order that God has established and have respect and have reverence for the holy things of God. Okay? And that's a place of freedom that God brings us to. It's a place of liberty. And it's only when we get to a place where we understand that we are under authority that we can actually be in authority. Amen? So our standing in authority stems from our being under authority. Okay. In the first church, in the New Testament church, I think they had troubles with this issue. And then the Lord sorted it out. I hope He doesn't have to do it in the same way. Remember when Apostle Peter, and the guys, many people in the church were selling things and bringing the proceeds to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira did the same, a couple there. And for some reason, they decided not to be honest about the whole thing. You know the story. And that they were under no obligation. But they came and they said, this is all the money. And then Peter said, is it all? And they said, yes. And that was a lie. And right there, they in different times, but they both fell dead. And you know what? I think after that, there was no more problems with people lying to the apostles. Because it's risky business. Any case, the point is us respecting what God has put in place and having a reverence for the way He wants to do things. Often people get spooky about hearing from God and, me and Gabriel, we have tea in the mornings, the angel Gabriel, and I hear from God type of thing, and I don't need the body of Christ, I don't need the church. And if you know somebody like that, encourage them. So yes, Jesus will speak to you personally, but mostly He will speak to you in the way that He said He will. And He said, it will be through the church. It will be through the body. It will be through the fivefold ministry as well. It will be through people around you. It will be through the body of Christ. Because that's the way He said it's going to happen. Amen. Okay, I need to finish. Not only because of the time, but because of my voice is coming to an end. Okay, Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. A lot in there, okay? Normally we do the first bit about the fivefold ministry, but it's amazing to look at how clearly it explains how the body works. And I want you guys to imagine for a moment with me a body, a church where this happens. We're getting there, but we're not there. A church where every part does its share. Every member finds their place and is knit together. And it's a powerful picture. It's like a picture of, it's unlimited what God can do through a body like this. Obviously, this is the ideal. We're going towards that. But it's such a picture to kind of go towards. Saying, okay, Lord, we want to all be a part of this thing. We all, as it says here, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body, which is cool, and the edifying of itself. In other words, this is good for everybody. It causes the body to grow. It causes the body to be edified. Every member is blessed because every part does its share. And there's, like I said, we're getting there, and there's incredible servants in this church, and I want to bless you guys. I want to honor you guys. Tirelessly serving, coming early, doing stuff, even without being asked. I wanted to thank Arita for the past year. I don't know how long she's been baking stuff for Sundays. Well, maybe you should, but I'll thank her again. She's busy at Children's Church tonight. She's pregnant this big, but she's still busy there. We've got amazing, but I still feel there's some parts that are carrying more weight than they should. And there's some parts that are not eating all their food. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. There's some of us that are leaving stuff on the plate. So, do the will of the Father. And you know what? It's something we can look forward to. And the reason I'm talking about this is not because I'm saying we're not there at all. Like I said, we're going there and we're getting there. But I want us to know who we are as the body of Christ. So that when people join, we can help them from the start. Because for a lot of us, it takes a while to get this. But if somebody comes in, the uncle always says there are two tickets. Somebody comes onto the boat. One ticket is to a pleasure cruiser, and the one is to a battleship. The two are very different. So they're both boats, okay. But somebody joins the boat, give them the right ticket that they understand from the start what things are about. Are you with me? Okay. And this scripture talks about us. This is quite cool. He says here that we should be no longer be children. And he carries on there about being tossed to and fro, etc. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things. Now it's, I know I'm a bit biased, but we have the cutest little girl. There we go. And she's crawling around now, and she's the greatest joy. And sometimes she throws stuff, sometimes she spits out her food because she doesn't want it. Okay. Sometimes she does think, and we laugh and it's cute, and but you know what, if she does that when she's 18, it's not gonna be cool. You with me? No, it's acute to a certain extent now when she kind of throws a bit of a tantrum and when she can't have something, or when she wants to use my laptop. And I say, no, not yet. Give it another 17 years or so. But it's cute now, but imagine in a few, when she's 18, it's not cool anymore. And the thing is, again, we're like, oh, duh, yeah, we all know that. But and spiritually, we often don't get that right. When we can't have what we want, we throw a tantrum. You know, when something happens in we get hurt in church, we act like little kids. And the scripture is saying God wants us to grow up spiritually. And now again, this is mostly for people out there, okay? But if you notice something in your life and you realize the way you react to certain situations is not mature spiritually, don't stress out about it. Just be honest with God. Go to somebody that loves you and that you can trust and tell them, listen, I've realized I must grow up in certain things in the spirit. What is it to grow? What is it to be grown up? Firstly, grown up can handle responsibility. Okay, man? And also can handle not getting what they want. Okay? You with me? Often we struggle with those things spiritually. We don't want to take responsibility. And every time dodge, whether it's taking ownership for somebody, discipling someone, that's a big responsibility. It's like having children in the spirit. It's not convenient. I watched this clip of Michael McIntyre talking about parenthood. I actually wanted to show you, but it's absolutely hilarious. I don't know if he does under the belt stuff as well, but this bit was really good. He was just saying that, yeah, you guys that don't have children, he's saying, and you sometimes you say, oh, wouldn't it be nice, you know, one day to have a little bit of you and me together, you know, a little version of you and me running around. Wow, that'd be amazing. And he says, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. Anyway, and then he goes on about, oh, it's very funny. But it's a responsibility. So if you notice this thing in your life, if you notice you struggle to take responsibility in the spirit. Maybe you struggle to take responsibility, even to intercede for to pray for your place where you work or where you live. Pray with someone. Say, I realize I need to grow up spiritually. And this is not a heavy thing, guys. We all start as babies spiritually, whether you're 30 and you get saved or 50. But there is a place of growth. Are you with me, guys? And pray with someone. Trust God to help you to come to a place of maturity spiritually. Okay. In terms of being committed to the body, and you know, we're going on about, that's why we have membership and stuff like that. People often wonder about that. I'm closing now, guys. Well, why must you be a member of one body? Why is there this commitment thing? You know, can't you just kind of visit? have a bit of a meal there, one family's house, and then the next night have a meal somewhere else. You think of it like this. If you have, say like me, I have a younger sister. And I have an older sister, but now I'm blessed. I mean. But now, imagine my younger sister. Say she's still in high school, and there's this guy that they get along really well, and they hang out a lot together, and they're friends. He's a good friend. So now, maybe a few years down the line, they're great friends, they do everything together, they spend a lot of time together, but he's just still a good friend. Maybe now she's in her 20s and this guy is still around, is they're good friends, and no other guy's getting anywhere near her, because he's just a good friend. You know that any good brother or sister would take that guy aside and have a very serious conversation with him. Are you with me? Maybe, in my case, too serious. But, you want to strongly encourage somebody, like, listen, what are you doing? Are you going somewhere with this thing? If you have any intention of making a commitment, the bad word nobody wants to use, then if you don't have that, then just tell my sister and let her get on with her life. And get a heart off you and be open to, be blessed by someone else. But and that's the thing we don't get, is that the moment that guy asks her out, the relationship changes significantly. And then years down the line, maybe, or months or whatever, when he puts a ring, a big rock of ages, on her finger, things change significantly. And when they are coming to covenant together before God, things change significantly. And now that relationship can flourish and bear fruit. Are you with me? That's a whole different ballgame. And the same with the body. Same with the bride of Christ. You get people out there, and if you have friends like that, pray for them. Encourage them. You cannot have a casual relationship with the body of Christ. Jesus doesn't understand it. Are you with me? There is a place of covenant. And the relationship changes significantly when that commitment happens. And there is a mutual blessing that happens. There are benefits, okay? We're getting back to the plant in the soil. When that plant decides to commit to the soil and to stick there, stay there, and get rooted and invest in the soil, there's a significant change. Because now that plant will flourish and will grow and will bear fruit. That plant cannot exist apart from the soil. Okay, this is not very deep stuff, guys. This is easy. It's easy to understand, but it's not so easy to live. Okay? But please stand with me tonight as we're going to pray. In my mind, I'm so excited, guys. The reason why I'm talking about this, because we're getting there, okay? And as we just celebrated new members this evening, it's such a blessing, because we can just give glory to God, okay? He's building His church. He's going somewhere. And the sooner you and I get on the same page as God and start seeing the world the same as He does, it's going to be easier for us to walk with Him, okay? If you go on a journey with somebody, on a road trip, okay, people have different priorities when you go on holiday. Have you noticed that? Some people want to be on the beach all day. Some people want to go look at old buildings and museums and things and paintings. Other people want to do all the adventure stuff. But before you go on holiday or on a trip with somebody, it's important to talk about these things. Because otherwise, you might just not enjoy it. And you might end up spending days on different places. The same with us and our walk with the body. If you have got your priorities in a certain direction and you're going on this trip with God and you realize, oh, but God is going in a different direction, it's a problem. It's not going to be blessed. Amen. So tonight, I want us just to bring our hearts before God. If you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit is convicted, you realize
Yes, you've been around, but you haven't really planted. Then you can change that. And tonight, you can even pray for someone that's not here. There's a lot of people that we know that maybe haven't caught this thing. Or if you've noticed something in your life, a cycle of just not getting breakthrough, and the Lord is showing you tonight that it is connected with your attitude towards His bride, then tonight is the opportunity to fix it. Amen. And if the Lord, His Holy Spirit, is alerted you tonight to something you have said in the past, please just repent if you've said something against His bride. Okay? So I'm just going to give us a moment or so as I pray, just to do business with God. I'm not going to call you all forward, but I'm going to be here in the front to pray with you at the end. So let's pray together. Father, God, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that we don't have to be ashamed, Lord. We don't have to be afraid. But that we can come boldly to You just as we are, with all our shortcomings, with all our faults, with our failures, God. Even in this area, we realize, God, we fall short of Your glory. But tonight we humbly come to You, Lord, and we receive Your word. And God, in the name of Jesus, we choose to be planted in Your house, Lord. Father, in my life, Lord, in the past, I have said things against Your body, and I just want to come and repent in the name of Jesus. Lord, wherever any of us has said stuff against Your body, we want to repent in the name of Jesus. We turn away from that. God, we pray that You put a guard in front of our mouth. And Lord, that when we speak of Your bride, that it will be in a way that is respectful, Lord, and honoring and worthy of You, Lord. Father, and I pray even today, right now, Holy Spirit, that You would shift something in our minds. And those of us that need to understand that we are the body of Christ, pray that You'd shift something, Lord, even as we go into this week, that every encounter we have with someone will be a good Christ encounter, where their glory will manifest in our lives. Where we will represent You in a way that is worthy of You, God. In Jesus' name. Just know where you're standing. If you need to repent, if you need to bring something before God, if you need to shift your heart, if you need to change your attitude towards the bride, if you need to get planted, just bring that before God right now. Just speak to Him. Just do business with Him now. Thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You that Your word says those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God, Lord. And I want to thank You for that promise, God. Thank You for a promise of abundance of life. I thank You, Lord, for a flourishing in lives in the name of Jesus. Thank You even tonight as hearts shift. God, I pray even this week and in this month, that there will be visible evidence of flourishing happening, Lord, in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, even as we shift the way we think about the world and we change our priorities to fit in with Yours, God, that the church is at the center of what happens on the earth. The body of Christ is the way You live in and through us on the earth, Lord. You move and speak and act and fill everything with Your presence, God. I pray that we will see the change in the way we think, and the change in the way that we speak, and the change in the way we act, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Lord. I thank You that we can look forward to the time when we as a body, Lord, represent You in a glorious way, Father, where every member does its share, where every part comes and does its bit. Lord, we're a place where we have that food of doing Your will nourish us and feed us and build us and grow us. Lord, that Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can, with looking to you and following hard after you as a body, as a family of believers, we say, Jesus, build your church. Let your kingdom be established in and through us, God. Lord, we humbly bow before you as a family tonight, God, and we ask, let the name of Jesus be magnified through us, God. Let people look at us and look at the love that we have one for another, and that they might see that we are your disciples, Lord, that they might see your glory manifest upon us, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you change the way we look at the world, or change the way we look at our workplace, that we might take responsibility, Father, that we might grow up in the Spirit and be partners with you, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation tonight. That, Lord, that we can look to you to finish the good work that you've started in us, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can boldly live this conviction. When people join our family, Lord, that we can help them to start with the momentum, Lord, that they will be rooted, that they will be grounded, that they will be planted, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for a boldness to live this conviction, Lord, to reach out to those that have gotten hurt in church, Lord, those that have drifted away from your body, those that are offended with the bride. God, I pray that you, even this week, you give us divine appointments with those that we know, and that we would, that you would draw them back into the fold in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for fruit, that as we plant ourselves, as we are planted in your house, we thank you that we bear fruit. Fruit that remains, God. Fruit that brings glory to your name. I thank you for fruit from this word, Lord, as we receive it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.